Amen. We give the good Lord praise. His holy name. Amen. Amen. We know that it has to be the Holy Spirit who gives sight to the blind. Amen. He is the one that deepens our revelation of God. He is the one that loves us and has come to dwell in us if we are believers in Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So we just thank God for that enlightening process that he does through the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
amen. That's why we ask him to open the eyes of our heart.
Yes.
Not these. A lot of people can see with these, but they can't see with this.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is the work of God in the life of those who trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, yes.
That he works it out. He gives you the Holy Spirit who intercedes for you. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he does it with groanings that cannot be uttered.
Yes.
Amen. So he prays secret prayer to God on our behalf. Amen?
Amen.
Which is a wonderful thing, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Jesus promised his disciples that the Spirit of truth would come when he went away. He says, if I go away, then I will send another one just like me.
Yes.
And he's with you now, but he will be in you.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
And that is the Spirit of truth when he has come. And then he says he will lead and guide you to all truth.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for the fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we ask for an increasing revelation of him. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Without further delay, that's why we like that song. Just we want him to open the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. The blind man, they came to him. Remember that in John 9 and... they said, well, who is it that gave you your sight? He said, I don't know, but I know I was blind, but now I can see.
Amen.
Don't know who it was, you know, because he didn't see him. Amen.
Yes.
With these eyes, but he saw him with his heart. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Without further delay, we have a message, a special message, which we are giving as we approach the season of the celebration of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And we have prepared this special message here to assist us in getting through the holidays, having increased our fellowship with God through his son Jesus and with each other as well.
Yes.
That's the purpose of it. And also, we see all the looming drama out in the neighborhoods and people talking about we don't know what's going to happen this way, that way, or the other way. And they're all setting up for all kinds of stuff. Then you have the regular prognosticators who tell us all about bad situations with the weather and global warming and all these threats. But yet the people of God are going to be as cool as a cucumber.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. If you don't mind if I use that metaphor, because we're going to trust in him.
We will. Trust in Jesus.
And when you have your trust in God, it doesn't make any difference what people say.
Yes.
Particularly many of these people who don't know the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. So we prepared special messages just for this season. We took a brief pause from our ongoing study through the entire book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Just at this time, as I was motivated by the Lord to call your attention to a few other parts of the word just for this season. And so we continue with that today. And so this installment will help us to learn how we should react to the gospel, even in a world who fails to acknowledge God's continuous mercy.
Yes.
In this message that we're going to present to you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
This message will also be found afterwards online on our website at sttmbc.org sometime in the next couple of days.
Amen.
Amen. But for now, let me call you who are here in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Call your attention to the psalmist. Now, you know, when we started this study, we started with the gateway to the Psalter, which is Psalm number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And now we move over 25 psalms to Psalm number 26.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a look at this, also a Psalm of David.
Mm-hmm.
The psalms are very, very interesting. I just want to add a footnote before we actually read the text. And then we're going to also look at a text in Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have a handout like this, raise your hand and we can see to it that you get one.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're interested in one. Amen. And but what we want to talk about, the Psalms, we mentioned them. think about Israel being in the kinds of situations they were in. Mm-hmm. Israel basically is a people that God called out for his own possession.
Mm-hmm.
That they will be my people and I will be your God.
Yes.
And God did this to add a little salt, if you will, if you don't mind if I put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He added a little salt to the world. The Bible tells us the salt is a preservative.
Yes, it is.
So it preserves the whole world from going to waste.
Yes.
And the church is the salt of the present day. Jesus
right.
said, ye are the salt of the earth.
Right.
And that basically that if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not salty and we're not retarding the process of sin escalating in the world, we are not doing our job.
All right.
Amen. So Israel had fallen into that situation. God had called them to be the salt of the world at the time. And I just want you to notice something about the character of the Psalms. The Psalms talk about how people of God interact with other people in the world who really don't necessarily know God.
Mm-hmm.
You have a tendency to be afflicted sometimes by people who don't know God. And it doesn't mean we're better than them. It only means we have knowledge that God has given us. And the reason that he gives us the knowledge is so we can affect them.
Yes. Right.
So we should be careful not to let them affect us.
Because
right.
God has given you special knowledge so you can affect them in a positive way.
Yes.
But what we have a tendency to do is we allow them to affect us in a negative way.
Right.
And so we have to be careful. So you see it in the Psalms is a good place. And keep in mind, Psalms are songs.
Right.
We would say the word Psalms in the Hebrew is equivalent to the English word songs. Because
right.
we're singing. These are things that were sang about God.
Yes.
They were sang among the Hebrews and among the Jews, we would say. And they were songs of various things. We're going to see that as we look at this. Psalm number 1, we see it set the tone of all the Psalms.
Right.
And maybe even the whole Bible. Because it talks about the two groups of people. Those who walk in the counsel of God versus those who walk in the counsel of the wicked.
Yes.
And so basically we are in that group that walks in the counsel of God, and we want
yes.
everyone to be a part of that group.
Amen.
We want to affect you positively. If you don't know Jesus Christ, we want you to know that God loves you and he wants you to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He wants you
yes,
in his family. If you're not in his family, he wants you to be in
yes,
his family.
He does.
And so it is the duty of us and the pleasure and the honor for us to tell you that God loves you and he wants
yes.
you in his family.
Amen.
And so we're here to affect you for good.
Yes.
Amen. And so that's the thing we see here. But we're going to look at some things about that, and I won't let the cat out of the bag till we read the text. But let us have a reading of Psalm number 26, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12, and I think that's the entire psalm. Let us stand for the hearing of God's blessed word, and we're going to ask someone to read both the Old and the New Testament text here, and we will start with the Old Testament, Psalms number 26, 1 to 12. Dr. Adams will read for us.
A psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord.
Yes.
Therefore I shall not slide.
Oh.
Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wipe mine hand in innocency, so will I compare thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and
yes.
tell of all thy wondrous works.
Yes.
I have loved the inhabitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth.
Mm-hmm.
Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men,
yes.
in whose hand is mischief,
yes.
and their right hand is full of wrath. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity.
Yes.
Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place.
Yes.
And the congregation will I bless the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. May God bless
yes.
the reading of his inerrant, infallible, blessed word.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh,
amen.
Yes.
And now for the reading of the New Testament text from the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 1, verses 12 to 22. Brother Douglas will read for us.
Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach.
Amen. Amen. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant word.
My Lord.
And we'd like to speak just for a little bit here on the subject of cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Now, y'all might say I'm a poet and don't know it. But my feet show it because they're long fellows. Amen. I'm just kidding. Bad joke. In either case, we want to talk about cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' righteous name, we just come before you today, God, to exalt your name because you are excellent. And we can see it in everything that you've made, oh God. The heavens declare your glory and the firmament shows your handiwork. We can see it in every little thing from a butterfly, oh God, to a flower, to a little small baby that has been born into the world, Lord, who came in fearfully and wonderfully made.
Oh yes,
Father, even to the sun in the sky and the multitude of stars and the vastness of space. We see that you are just awesome, oh God.
Yes, you are.
And so we thank you, Father, right now. And we come, Father, just ask you to touch us today. Stop by here and touch our minds, oh God.
Touch, Lord. Touch.
Help us to understand some things, Father, and to be greatly appreciative of who you are and what you're doing in our lives.
Oh, yes.
Separate us and sanctify us today, oh God. Please. And we ask this in the righteous name of your son, Jesus. If there's anybody here today came in a broken condition, Father, we pray for them right now.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask you touch them, oh God. Give them a time of peace and refreshing.
Please.
Right here, oh God, in this sanctuary. Touch and fill them, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
With the wonder of amazement of how much you love them.
Yes.
Help them not to leave here with their hearts down, oh God, or the mind entangled in any kind of a situation that's negative, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help them to know that they are among those who have been loved with an everlasting love.
Please.
And that you love them as well, Father, that they might be a part of your family. We bless you, we thank you, we give you praise.
Thank you, Lord.
And look at those, oh God, help them like Sister Cookie and all the members of our fold that are out today, sick, Sister Karen,
heal,
oh God, touch and heal. Even those who are suffering from bereavement, Sister Robbie, oh God, look over her and her family and bless them as they travel on the road going back home, God. From when they came, oh God, to be here with their loved one and help them in their bereavement, oh God.
Yes.
And we'll be careful to bless you, Lord, and give you all the praise and the glory.
My Lord.
Look over our whole church family, any of us, oh God, who need a touch from your hand.
Please.
God, we ask that you touch us right
touch,
now.
Touch, Lord.
And we ask it in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Help us now, Lord, understand that how we might be cultivating an attitude of gratitude. And we ask it in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus' name.
To the praise of his glory, and we ask it in his name. Amen.
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 Amen. So I think of myself, and some of this will be my opinion, and I don't ever mind telling you when I have an opinion, but I like to separate between opinion and fact.
All right.
What God says is a fact all the time. You never have to worry about it.
Yes.
Sometimes what we say is sometimes our opinion, what we think about it. And so we want to distinguish between those things. Now, what I'd like to say is that I think our country itself has been spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this happened to Israel. They got spoiled. They got so accustomed to being blessed so well by God that they began to take advantage of the blessing. They accepted the blessing, and they didn't want to be involved with the other people. They kind of got lofty, got up on a pedestal somewhere. And I think that happened to our country, not with this necessarily this generation who we see now. I think it happened some number of years ago when we got arrogant as a country. We started to say, well, we don't need God in the center of everything anymore. And so that happened about 50 years ago. Some of you in here are not even 50 years old. And if you're less than 50, that means you were raised when the culture had changed. And it made a drastic change. Some people are here who have seen World War I, World War II. You've been through some changes. You saw Vietnam. You saw different wars and things that went on. And they even call that generation the baby boomers. We are the ones who had all these children who are now less than 50 that are being brought up in this culture. And so basically we have different ways of looking at things, because when we were brought up before, we used to be very grateful because we had very little. And now, since the boom of technology, we've had so much that I think we get a little spoiled. You know, we all kind of like our air conditioning and all that. I don't have nothing against air conditioning. Let me tell you, I'm a brother who likes to be cool. I do not like to be hot. I sweat easy. So I'm not trying to put down air conditioning, but I'm just saying it's something that people didn't have in previous generations. We didn't even have indoor plumbing a lot of times at one time. See? And so a lot of that kind of stuff, we take it for granted. You know, running water in your house, all that kind of thing, hot and cold at your demand. And not to mention refrigeration. There used to be an ice man that had to come and bring you a block of ice every day. You know, and that went out the window. You see, but I'm saying so many things young people just take for granted. They go to the fridge, we got water coolers, we got all kinds of stuff all through the house, you know. And so we become addicted to electricity as a people. The power go out, boy, we're unhappy campers. And we used to light candles and stuff to light the house back in the day. And, you know, that's what you had. You get up, light the lantern, and you go on about your business. And the fireplace was the center of the house. You had to cook in there and make bath water and all kinds of stuff. But see, we don't remember all that. Some of us only see it on TV stuff. You know, you might see that on some TV show. When you go to Cracker Barrel, you get a glimpse of the way things used to be. You know, you look around in there, you say, boy, look at this stuff, you know. But that's the way it was. They made stuff out of wood, and it was just kind of primitive compared to the way it is now. You know, and I go in there and I look at that stuff and say, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember these. You know, folks said, boy, you must be old as dirt. You know, if you remember that, they had old hand meat grinder and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so it just reminds you of where we came from when you go in there and you see that atmosphere. And now we have all electronic, digital, everything, and we're lost without our cell phones, and we're addicted to electronics. And so we have a tendency to be a little bit ungrateful because we take so many things for granted.
Yes.
And so I just thought it would be good just remind the saints during this holiday season, so that you don't do like the rest of the world. That sometimes the world goes out and all Black Friday, that's it. I'm going to spend drop, chop till I drop. And I'm going to get every new thing that's out there. And you know, we do that. We get in that attitude. And so sometimes it may not be necessarily good. And I'm not against that. I know y'all got your heart set on certain things already. And you're going to go get it anyway. So I'm not up here trying to say that. But I'm not really interested in the stuff and all that you're doing as much as I am, where is your heart?
That's it.
Where's your attitude?
That's it, man. That's it.
God wants you to be blessed with good things.
Yes.
He wants you to have the very best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the problem. The problem never was God blessing people.
That's right.
He wants people to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants you to have the right attitude about what you're dealing with and where you stand, who you are as the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to be arrogant or proud or so lofty that you can see somebody else who he'd like to reach with his word, and now all of a sudden, oh, I'm too whatever I am to even take time to address that individual.
Mm-hmm.
See? So he wants us to be lowly in mind, where we remember where we came from.
Amen.
And then serve other people. Keep a service mentality about yourself. Now notice this. The psalmist writes this song. And keep in mind, I mentioned their songs, because songs are written to give joy to the singer. They're also, in this case, these are factual psalms that talk about their interaction and their relationship with other people. Sometimes you can sing away problems. You know that, some of you. You don't even have to sing well. You know, you just get in there and you hit it however you know it, and it makes you feel a little better just to hum along a little song sometimes. And so that's how these psalms were born. They were born out of the passion, and of all people, this is the king. King David, one of the, you can say he might have been the most blessed among Israel, because he lived in the highest possible situations.
Yes,
he was the great benefactor of all the blessings that God had given. But he had humble beginnings too, came from the sheep coat.
Yes, that's right.
He was out in the backyard, and when Samuel was in the house trying to anoint a king that God sent him down to anoint, they went through all the sons of Jesse that were high and mighty, the big, tall, good-looking sons, and the Lord had not chosen them all the way through until it got down to all Jesse's sons were gone. And Samuel said, well, there must be another son somewhere, because God said the son it would come from the seed of Jesse. They said, well, you couldn't be talking about David. He's out there in the sheep yard, tending to the sheep. And Samuel said, go get him and bring him here.
That's right.
And he brought him there, and the Lord's blessing was put upon him. He was the Lord's anointed. So he came from the lowest place in his family, the youngest one in the family, not the firstborn, and got the blessing of God put on his life. So he went from a shepherd boy to the king of Israel. And his lifetime basically was really, really wonderful. But he writes a psalm like this. Let's get a little insight on David's heart and his attitude here. This is a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. David tried to keep a good record with God, to do the right thing, we might say. I have trusted also in the Lord. See? So not only do you do good, trust in the Lord and do good, it says over there in the Proverbs, right? So he says, I have trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. He understood God empowers my walk. God will empower your walk. Somebody here knows that.
Yes, he will.
Somebody knows that if you trust God, you will walk right. And you'll do the right thing. You might, your foot may want to slide. You know, sometimes even the world writes songs about they're going to slide and all of that. I remember a few of them, you know. I mean, we're going to just slide, you know, and all of that. Slide, slide, slippity slide, and we got all of that, you know. But David said, my foot will not slide. I'm going to be all right here. I'm trusting in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. See, he wants God to test my motives, Lord. Because he knows that God has to reveal what's in your heart.
That's right.
Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. See that? Try my reins in my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. He remembers the blessing of God, where he came from, how God brought him from a humble place and exalted him to be the king of Israel. He says, I have walked in thy truth from his word. See that? I have not sat with vain persons. Now, these are people who disregard God, and we looked at them in Psalm 1. They were called the ungodly or not so, David said there. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go into with dissemblers. These are people who speak injuriously against God. They create trouble among the people. We got a lot of them in our culture today. People constantly, they don't ever call on God. They're constantly stirring in trouble among the people, keeping the people stirred up with trouble. He says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers, as they all get together and hate on one another and hate on different things. And I will not sit with the wicked. That's that seed of the scornful there from Psalm 1. David said, no, I know who does, how to divide up the company. And if I get an ear of somebody out of there who wants to hear it, I'll tell, talk to that one, but I'm not getting ready to unite with you in a big old thing of wickedness against God with ungodly counsel. See that? He says, I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. In other words, I'm coming to the church to confess my sins and get my hands clean, because there is a place of cleansing. Is it? It's at the Lord's altar. See, that's what people who don't love God won't acknowledge. They don't think they need to be cleansed. We think we're okay. We're going to get by. We're going to slide some kind of way into heaven. You know, you're not going to slide into heaven. If there's a slide, it's going to go somewhere else. And this is what the Lord wants you to understand. Now notice this. He says here, I wash my hands in innocency. That's the way of saying I come and acknowledge your precepts, because I compass your altar. That means I come to the altar of the Lord to be cleansed. See, he acknowledges that God is the source of forgiveness. That I may publish, look at that, with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell what? all thy wondrous works. I'm always boasting on my God.
Yes.
What he does, I publish it.
Yes.
I go out and I speak it in the public. I want folks to know I know the Lord. He is my shepherd.
Yes.
I shall not want.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ,
right.
For it is the power of God. So he says, I publish thanksgiving. He has an attitude of gratitude. I'm thankful for what God did for me.
Yeah.
When people say something to me, a lot of times they'll say, oh, you know, that was really nice the way you did. I said, well, to God be the glory.
Amen.
So I publish thanksgiving. I thank the fact that God gives me the ability to do that.
Yeah.
And so you always boast on the Lord and let them know that your soul has her boast in the Lord, as he says in another psalm. And he says, and I tell of thy wondrous works.
Yeah.
I can tell you where God bought me from.
Mm-hmm.
I was showing some of the brothers this morning something I came across from a time in my life when I was living a disconnected, disobedient life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a record of it there. I said, I looked at this, but I just keep this to remind me where God bought me from.
Yes.
You know, I don't dwell on it,
yes,
but I looked at how God brought me through this whole thing,
yes,
and he brought me through it. He turned my life around from that point until now.
He's
see?
Awesome.
And he protected me from the damage it may have done to my reputation,
yes,
throughout my whole life.
Yes.
So that's the kind of God he is. He'll fix the damage that you have, and he'll protect you and cover you and
yes,
bring you
will.
On through.
Yes.
See, like we read in Psalm 91, that's why we had chosen that for a responsive reading. He said that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High,
yes,
see, there's a secret place. God will cover you, even though you're in the world filled with sin, that you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
My fortress,
yeah,
my God, in him will I trust.
Yeah.
See, the righteous run into him and they are safe, the Bible
yes.
says.
Yep.
Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Yeah.
Whatever trouble is going on around you, he is able to deliver you. He'll cover you with his feathers. That's a picture of a mother hen
yeah.
covering over her flock, her brood, you
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to protect just like a mother hen. He wants to cover you.
Yeah.
So if anything will happen to you, it's got to get me first.
Mm-hmm.
That's the picture there. And I got you covered under my wings.
Yeah.
You know, and so God covers us like that. He'll be, it says here, his wings shall be your refuge and his truth shall be your shield and your buckler.
Yes.
And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. See, stuff happens all the time. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Yes.
God says, I promise you, you trust me. They're announcing all kinds of stuff. Oh, talking about Ebola and all kinds of plagues and different kinds of stuff to threaten the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
To bring you down and have you be in a depressed attitude. So these kind of things, when you trust God, this is how you cultivate an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, God said, I got you.
That's right.
I'll cover you. How do you know he'll do it? Because he gave his son.
Oh, yes.
He allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified so he could cover us.
Yes.
Not that we deserved it. It's just that he loves us so much.
Yes.
Remember John 3:16? What? For God what so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means any of you, no matter who you are, whoever believes in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. So he wants to cover you. He wants you to be under his wings.
Yes.
He wants you to be under his shadow.
Yes.
He wants you not to fear all these different things that are announced in the world by people who don't have a relationship with God.
Amen.
A lot of that is going on today. So that Psalm 91 is on the back of your bulletin. Meditate on that throughout the week.
Yes.
That will help you to foster and cultivate an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Like the psalmist has here. Notice what he says here moving on in verse 8. Lord, I have loved thy habitation, the habitation of thy house. See that? And the place where thine honor dwelleth. Where is that? That's in the church.
In the church.
Nothing I love more than coming to church.
That's right. Me too.
So we can boast on God.
Yeah.
And lift him up and praise him.
Yes.
See, for all that he does in our life.
Amen.
For giving us a reasonable portion of health and strength.
Yes.
For taking us on into our later years with very little trouble. Or whatever trouble we're going through, he lets us make it through.
My Lord.
You know, we talk about him in here. We're not ashamed. You know what? I talk about him wherever I go. You might see me going down the highway and people look and say, what's wrong with that man? And I got the music. music on, I'm jamming in Christ, going down the highway. And I'm giving him praise. When I get to work, I got to dry my eyes before I can get out the car. Yeah. So people, is everything okay, Brother Fisher? I say, yeah, I'm all right. You know, I get on out, I'm good. I'm good for the day. Because I spend my time praising him on the way. So when I get there, because I know I'm going to run into all kinds of folks in drama when I get there. You know, some of them are not going to believe. They're not going to understand what you're going through. But you just go ahead and praise him. And take that spirit of praise with you when you go. Let it be all over your countenance as it goes on to say there in that psalm. So here he goes. I have loved thy habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief, and in their right hand is full of bribes. They think they can pay their way through everything and get out of trouble because I got a lot of money. See? I'm going to pay somebody off, whether it be the judge or whoever it is, the prosecuting attorney.
Yes.
Whoever. I mean, folks are doing evil stuff, and they think they're going to get by. You know, you think God don't know what you're doing. But he said, I'm not hanging with such folks here. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me. Even though I'm walking in integrity, I still need to be redeemed. I understand that. And be merciful unto me. See, we all require mercy. The wicked could be saved if they trust God. They don't have to be the wicked. He says, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. In other words, my foot is not on a slippery slope about to slide down. I'm in an even place. I'm standing on even keel with the Lord. So he has an attitude of gratitude. So I wanted to mention that to you because it's one of the things that makes it where you're more susceptible to be led by the Spirit of God if you have that attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
This is what Thanksgiving is about. You notice how they skip right over before Halloween. Now they start with the Christmas stuff. We're trying to get you all in sales mode. We're going to skip Thanksgiving. That's just a bunch of, you know, we ain't interested in that. We need to move right into Black Friday mode here. And they started it back in before November even hit. Before Halloween, you see, because they want to get your mind on that commercial mindset.
Yes.
And we want to skip over. That's the whole reason why they're doing a lot of stuff they're doing right now is to keep the public where they won't lock up on the finances because their God is really money. We don't want to mess with the flow of the cash. So let's not disrupt the people with anything serious. Kind of like they put James to death with the sword, and then they were going to grab Peter because they saw that it pleased the people and the Sanhedrin and all them. And they said, oh, let's wait till after our holy day and execute Peter. We can't do that before. That kind of thing. See?
Wow.
So we'll hold that back. But actually, God was sparing Peter, and he was going to bring him through.
Right.
You see?
Right.
But I just want you to know, people in the culture manipulate systems and things, and we're seeing it right around us.
Yes.
Don't let it anger you. Remember that they're twisted and lost.
That's right.
That you should be thankful that God has blessed you.
Yes.
He will continue to bless you no matter what madness they introduce into the culture.
Amen.
No matter what they say to threaten your peace, God has covered you. Trust him.
Yes.
And be thankful to him.
Trust in Jesus.
Don't skip Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Give God praise and thanks. Lift up his name. Thank him for all that he has already done and what he promised that he will do. Because the immeasurable magnitude of the fall of Adam, this is what we underestimate, which was inflicted upon all things in the entire creation. Do you realize that? When Adam fell, it affected everything in the creation. That means the space on earth, in the sea, everything was tainted. And it affected everything God made. Everything and everyone in the world has sustained a horrific blast of perpetual inadequacy. That's some of my words there. Way short of what God originally intended for his creation, placing all people and all things into a cycle of discontentment and thanklessness, which tends to be prevalent, the prevalent mindset of the world right now. That's how people in the world think.
Yes.
They're not thinking about God. They don't have any gratitude. They didn't want to retain him in their knowledge anymore, it says in Romans chapter 1. We just like to forget about God, then we can go ahead and cut loose with same-sex marriage, cut loose with legalized prostitution.
Yes.
We want to do away with holy matrimony.
Yes.
We like to, because nothing holy about this at all. What amazes me, they don't want to be holy in the first place, so why would you desecrate? All you want to do is desecrate something that God has made holy.
That's exactly what
That's the only purpose. Most of them don't want one mate. Anyway, we want 49. I need 49 people to sleep with.
Yes.
Not one. Mm-hmm. So we're not interested in what matrimony is.
Yes.
And let's just make marijuana legal. Everybody wants to smoke it anyway, they say. See, so these are the kind of things that we continue to see in fallen man. They want to desecrate everything that is righteous. So the position of the world and fallen man who fails to recognize the magnanimous mercies of God and even his willingness to provide grace through the sacrifice of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, is one of ingratitude, indifference, selfishness, greed, hatred, lust, and wickedness of every stripe. That's what we have on multiplication going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand that God has given grace to us, the church.
Yes, he has.
And we look here in Colossians, we see that it says here that we should be giving thanks to the Father. On the other hand, rather than being like the world, who has qualified us, notice that, he qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's the name of the church, basically, a name for the church, which are the called out from among the Gentiles and the Jews who trust and believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. This is the New American Standard translation. It says he rescued us from the domain of darkness. He took us out of a dark lifestyle and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. See? So that's that transition from the dark lifestyle into that I trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And God puts his light in you, his Holy Spirit in you. He takes you from out of the domain of the world and the flesh, those who only trust in man, and brings you into the kingdom of his beloved son. Now these are the benefits here starting in verse 14. In the son we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sin. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. See that? For by him, the Son, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. So that means anything you can see and anything you can't see were created by Christ, whether they be thrones as a type of angels or high powers in the heavenlies or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Not only through him, but it was made for him. And this is speaking of the Son. All these things refer to the Son. He is the antecedent of the pronoun he. He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. Jesus is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning. Jesus is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. See, that was the reason the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John says in John 1:14. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because it was the Father's good pleasure, he says here, that all the fullness should dwell in him. So God the Father wanted us to focus on Christ the Son. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. And through Christ, it says here, through him to reconcile all things to God the Father, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We know that's the Son again. You see how it goes back and forth, the Father and the Son. And he says, I say whether things on earth or things in heaven. That's why I want you to know he reconciles the entire creation from bondage, where it's being held right now in the bondage of Adam's sin. And although you were, notice that, formerly alienated and hostile in mind, we were, that's the description of the lost fallen world. Alienated, that means way off, hostile in mind against God, engaged in evil deeds, that's the fruit of being like that. Yet now hath he reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. In other words, Jesus came to receive our wages. The wages for sin is death. And he took it to himself in order that he might present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. In other words, not able to be blamed, not now, not in the future, not in eternity. See, so this is what we preach. So should we be grateful? I think we ought to be the most grateful people that there are. So since God has chosen to provide the world his son to set all who believe in him in right standing with him by his grace alone, in other words, we don't deserve it, but God wants you to be saved. That's why he gave the son.
Yes, he
through
does.
Faith in him alone. All you need to do is trust in the Lord Jesus
trust
Christ
Jesus.
And you shall be saved. The Bible says believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved.
Yes.
And that we should all have a proper response to God's goodness, nurture for ourselves, and export to the world an attitude of thanksgiving. See?
Wow.
Somebody said that today is a day of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we'll save some of this for Thanksgiving week.
Right.
But I just wanted to get you in the attitude, to have an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
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 To give thanks to the Lord. So if you're here today and you are not a part of the church family, and you would like to be, we would like to acknowledge that today. And so we want to help you become a part of the church family if you're not. And so we would like to give you an opportunity to do that today. Amen. That's why we're here. We're here to invite people to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ like we have done, those of us who are here. Amen. So if you're here today and you're not in the body of Christ, we'd like to invite you to come at this time. Let me just ask everyone, whoever it is, let's have a little brief word of prayer. Lord God, we praise you, we bless you, we exalt you, we thank you, Father, for giving your son.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father,
thank
we
you, Lord.
Have heard
thank
and
you,
believe,
Lord.
Those of us who are here, that whoever believes in him, you say, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving your son, Jesus, and that he went through all that you had said in your word. And he suffered those blows on his body. And he took all that beating. And he took the pain. And he took the humiliation and the degradation and all that he took, Father, as he bore the cross and carried it up to Golgotha, the place of the skull.
Yes.
And then he was crucified there and died on the cross when he had given up his own life, because no one took his life. But he said, Father, to thy hands I commit my spirit. And you were satisfied with that, Lord.
Yes.
And then they laid him in the borrowed tomb for 3 days and nights. And on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And proclaimed victory over the grave and over death and over all the powers of darkness. And he did that not for himself, but he did it for you, that you might show your love for us. And he did it for us. And so, Father, we thank you for the gospel, that good news, and we pray you help someone here today believe it, Lord, so that they can know for sure that they are saved.
Please,
Father, you said these things you wrote unto us who believe in the name of the Son of God, that we might know that we have eternal life, and that eternal life is in your Son, is a relationship with him.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray you bless somebody with that knowledge right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We ask you to forgive us for times when we have not been grateful.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we ask you to bless us with more and more gratitude. And more just willingness and shamelessness to go forth and say what you have done, God, and speak that to whosoever we come in contact with. We bless you, we thank you, we give you praise in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're here today and you would like Jesus to be your Savior, raise your hand. If you've never trusted him before, just raise your hand right where you are. Amen. If you trust Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, raise your hand. Okay, let me ask it this way. If you're here and you have trusted Christ, raise your hand, whoever you are. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Raise your hand up high. Amen. 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 And I see one young man there. We're going to ask him, have you trusted in Christ to be your Savior? He said what?
Yes.
Yes, raise your hand.
Put your hand up there.
Raise your hand. There you go. There you go. All right. We thank the good Lord. That's a good testimony. Amen. Well, let's now give the Lord praise. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we pray this message has prepared you for everything. I've been hearing all kinds of negative preparation for stuff going on. Oh, we want to have a notice before they announce the jury, the grand jury trial, and what all's going to happen. And we got the Ku Klux Klan threatening people, and we got all kinds of negative stuff. So I don't want any of you to be troubled.
That's right.
You know, trust God. whenever it's done, no matter what happens, no matter when people mean things for evil, you can look at what Joseph told his brothers. Y'all meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. God is going to get his victory no matter what happens.
Yes.
No matter how ugly things get, no matter how they threaten the public, doesn't make a difference. God knows what happened.
God knows.
And he has the solution. Amen. Yes. To every problem and everything. Yes. And not only that, but that's almost by comparison. I mean, that's a big deal in our culture.
Yes.
But there's some bigger stuff going on that people don't even know about.
Right.
Do you realize, and I'm just going to say this as I go back to my seat, that Isis, I-S-I-S, mm-hmm. was the name of an old Egyptian god called Isis and Osiris. Does anyone remember that from mythology? Now it's Isis the terrorist. Is there any coincidence with that? And you're seeing people getting their heads cut off and they're killing children. And I wanted to mention this. I got an email from a friend that has friends who are missionaries that are actually over there. And now the government has pulled back their troops, the UN, left these people who were missionaries with their kids.
Amen.
And they went to the kids and asked them, will you denounce Christ? The kids said, no, we won't. And they cut their heads off. Got that email this morning. The parents have been left alive. And we think we got trouble over here. This is what I wanted you to see. And there are people there, they need your prayers. They need us to pray. Can you imagine how you would feel if somebody did this in front of you? To your own kids, that'd be bad enough if they did it and you didn't know where it was. But right in front of your eyes they did this, and now they're going to tell them to denounce Christ. So there's a lot of people going through stuff you and I have never even had to deal with, because we've been over here in the blessed land.
Amen.
Taking it for granted in a lot of cases. But imagine being in those shoes where something like that would happen. And think about the hearts of those parents.
Yes.
The church is persecuted in a lot of places, but not so much here yet. We're persecuted in a lot of ways as ideological and things of that sort. Like, in other words, they want to assault our doctrine and what we teach.
Right.
And come against it with all kinds of sin, like we're seeing getting worse and worse every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that means we're going to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but really doesn't mean that at all. Not over here.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I might be expanding my prison ministry if it comes around to it. They think I'm going to tell them not tell you about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if that's the case, then I'll be Paul number two.
Amen.
You know, because I will speak the truth. I love the truth.
Amen.
And Jesus said the truth will make you free.
Amen.
So you can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
But the truth will always be free.
Yes.
Amen. We thank God for each of you who are here. Pray for those families. You don't even need to know specifically who they are, but God knows who they are.
Yes.
And just pray that God will give them strength and victory. Amen. They already have victory. That's one thing about being saved.
Right.
If you saved, you have the victory right now. Amen. Amen. Having said that, we'd like to acknowledge our visitors once again, give you an opportunity if you happen to be visiting. And if you do and you want to say something, you may. Amen. We don't want you to come to our house and not feel that you have been welcomed, greatly welcomed and appreciated. Amen. Amen. So we give the Lord praise. Trying to think, is there any other announcements or anything, brother?
I just want to make one last announcement to make sure that everybody that had intended going to Sykes, Missouri, to Lambert's cafeteria where they throw the rolls, just to make sure Saturday, around 8:30, we're going to Lambert's up in Sykeston. We have a list of 20-something people, so we just about got most of the people that we need. We're going to have two vans. So I just want to make sure that you understand that we're going to leave around 8:30. We don't want people straggling on an hour later or whatever, because we plan on leaving then, so we can go there and do what we got to do and come back. If anybody else is interested, let us know. And again, I would just say the prices on it is $20 to get, you know, to take you down there and back, and then $15 a round for the meal that you take. It's for adults, $20, and children is $10, because we have to put gas back in the van. The van is, the church is giving the vans, or paying for the vans. So that's something that, you know, you don't have to worry about. But the gas, we have to put back in the vans when we turn them in, because they're going to give it to us full. It'll take us probably a whole tank to get down there and back. We have to regas those vans. And so it's going to take that little amount of money in order to do that. So if anybody's interested, please let us know. And I just wanted to make that announcement on that. Thank you very much.
Amen. I guess it could be said, let the good times roll. He said about the rolls, the place they throw the rolls. Amen. Before we dismiss, yes, I'd like to just give a special word of thanks to Sister Janice Brown, for her faithfulness in the Esther Bible study. And I'd like to let some of you know, you don't have to be a member if you're visiting, or even if you are a member, you can attend. That's on Saturdays. Is it 10 a.m.? 10:30. Okay, 10:30 on Saturday. I happen to be here for one of them. I wasn't not trying to eavesdrop or be nosy. I happen to be in installing the alarm for the church, a new state-of-the-art alarm that we got. And it looks pretty awesome. It's got a lot of good information, things you wouldn't even think about from the book of Esther. And the book of Esther, of course, is an awesome book in the Old Testament.
Oh, yes it is.
And so you might want to consider being a part of that on Saturdays at 10:30 right here at St. Timothy MB Church. And again, we want to give special thanks to Janice Brown for being faithful in ministering that ministry to our church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If all minds are clear, any other announcements from anyone?
Yeah, and we also want to keep up in prayer also the missionaries also in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have missionaries over there also, doctors and everything, to help them with the Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to keep them up in prayer.
Amen. Now see, all of these different things, like you said, the scripture says in the last days that there will be pestilence, is the word that's used. And it speaks of things like AIDS, HIV, Ebola, stuff that could just wipe out, avian flu, bird flu, all these kinds of things. This stuff is not new. We have been through a lot of changes. In fact, they said malaria, a whole lot of diseases were wiped out in America, and I think it was just because we were under the blessing of God. Now we're starting to say we don't need God anymore, and now we're starting to see diseases creeping back in again. It's amazing to me. And people think they don't see it, so we had to be careful and be prayerful and realize there are a lot of people more persecuted than we are.
Amen.
Amen. All in the world, and they stand for Christ. And if your faith is tested, if your faith was tested like that, how would you do? I just want to leave you with that question. Not going to even ask for an answer. How would you do if your faith was tested like we have talked about some of these people we just heard? How would you do? Are you grateful enough to God to pass the test? Amen. Having said that, let us stand for a closing word of prayer and to receive the benediction.